joy to be with you again this evening. Before we begin, I would like to read one verse from in the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, which is an excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit." Let's just look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father, we just thank Thee again this evening for the wonderful privilege we have of looking into Thy precious Word again. We thank Thee for the truth which Thou hast put there to lead us and to guide us day by day, to convict us, to show us the way that we should go. We pray that as we look at these Thy Word tonight, You would just show us the truth, would help us to live faithfully for Thee day by day. We'd also pray if there'd be even one individual here who has never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, they might do so. We just commend these things to Thee in our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen. We were thinking about the Spirit this morning, the Holy Spirit, and the fact that He's not just an influence, but He's a person, He's God, and He does a definite work in bringing about our salvation. And this evening we want to think of the Spirit as He works in our lives as believers. And this verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 5 says, "Be not drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be filled," or you could say controlled, "by the Spirit." We need to be controlled by Him in our lives day by day. You know, we probably for the next 2 weeks, the newspapers will be filled with stories of the Olympics. You'll turn on the television, and then most any time of the day or night, probably there'll be Olympic events going on. There'll be stories of individual athletes. And even in the past few weeks, at different times, you've probably seen stories of what the adversity that this person has overcome to get to the Olympics or what that person has done. But the one thing that stands out in all of these is the controlling thing in their lives is the Olympics. As they prepare and get ready for, some of them, what might only last 10 or 15 seconds, others it might last a few minutes. For some of the games, it might last an hour or two. But the time that it takes to get that gold medal and be in the light that the world sees is just a very, very short time, isn't it? Just maybe in comparison to their life, maybe 1/1,000,000th of their life. And yet, how many of them have been totally controlled since very young age? You hear of some of these that started out 2 and 3 years old, learning to skate, planning for the day when they might be on that Olympic stage, trying for that gold medal. Completely controlled in their lives toward this one idea of winning that medal. And wouldn't it be a different world if every one of us as believers were as controlled by the Spirit of God in our walk and service for Him day by day as these athletes are to win that little piece of metal that really has no value very much. I don't know how much a gold medal in the Olympics is worth monetarily wise, but very, very little is it really worth. The time that they are in the limelight might be interviews on different networks for a week or two, but if you would go out on the street of Chambersburg or anywhere and ask who won the cross-country skiing gold medal in 1974 or who won something in 1968 or whatever year, very few people can remember the names of those who have won in times past. But yet those people gave their all, put all their energy, all their controlling ideas into winning that medal. And the Holy Spirit says, the Word says to us concerning the Holy Spirit, be not drunk with wine, but be filled or be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We should look at our lives day by day and say, how are we controlled by the Spirit? Are we as controlled by Him in seeking to serve the Lord as we see these athletes, the Olympics right now, but almost any of the athletes, the athletic events that you see, and even in many other things. Are we as yielding our lives to His control as these people do for these trivial trivial things, things that are here today and tomorrow forgotten about. He wants us to be controlled by Him, to be filled with the Spirit. And that's what we should be striving for in our lives as believers, to be filled with Him. You know, there are barriers that are in our way to this filling. There are temptations that come the way of the believer. And if we don't overcome these temptations, it's going to mean a lack of being controlled by the Spirit. If we aren't able to endure trials, and there's certainly going to become trials. You know, some folks think, well, once you become a Christian, all your problems are solved. There are no more problems. But once you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, Satan doesn't leave you alone then. He's just really beginning to throw these trials in your way. We need to have power for service. And there are hindrances to that if we're not yielded to Him. But you know, the Holy Spirit is the one who can supply the power to overcome all the hindrances that are there, all the barriers that are there to being filled with the Spirit. And as we're yielded to Him, then we can be controlled and filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, this yielding requires an acknowledgement of God's ownership of us. A lot of people, that's the one of the greatest things to acknowledging, well, I'm not my own owner. God is my owner. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The key to being filled with the Spirit so that we can serve faithfully is to acknowledge that we're not our own, that we don't own ourselves. Paul says to the Corinthians, almost as like he's incredulous, what? Don't you realize, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? They've been into every kind of sin. They've been doing everything that they wanted to do themselves. And Paul says, stop a minute. Think. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's in you. He indwells you. And he says, you are not your own. And that should cause us as believers in these days to stop and think ourselves. Do we really realize day by day that this body is indwelled by the Holy Spirit, that we are not our own? It says that we've been bought with a price. Think of what a price it was. We can rejoice this evening in the fact that our salvation didn't cost us anything, did it? It was free. It was a gift. We received it. Oh, we were bought with a tremendous price, a price that no amount of money could ever be set on, the price of the precious Son of God going to the cross of Calvary, taking upon Him the punishment that we deserved. We think of all of us here this evening. If we would each one enumerate all the sin that we've ever done in our lives, we probably couldn't begin to do it. But think what just a small group that we are compared to the population of Chambersburg and Pennsylvania and the United States. And think of all the people that are living in the world today and all the people that ever have lived. Every sin of everyone, the penalty was paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid that great price. And what should we do? He says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're not our own tonight. We're His. And as we acknowledge His ownership of our life, then we're going to be able to be filled with the Spirit. Then we can be yielded to Him, and He can use us in His service. Sobering words that the Apostle Paul has there for the Corinthian believers, and should be sobering to our hearts as well in this day. We are not our own. We're indwelled with Him. A thought that should go with us every hour of every day. Am I acknowledging His ownership of me? Am I acknowledging His control of my life? We should be. And what we should, as we acknowledge His ownership, then as we think of that very well-known verse in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, where he asks us to yield our bodies a living sacrifice. When we acknowledge His ownership, then we need to put ourselves in His absolute control. Not that we want to control ourselves, but to let Him control us. You know, when we want to control ourselves, we end up a lot of times doing the wrong things, don't we? We try to say, Lord, you can have this part of my life, but this part I've got to have for my own control. You can have this, but I'm going to control that. He wants complete control of our life. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body, your whole self, your complete self, a living sacrifice. You know, a lot of people today are floundering around the world, going this way and that, because they have not completely given their control over to Him. If they give the control over to the one who knows what's before us, then our lives can be lived so much better for Him. It's like I didn't tell the Finches this afternoon when we went to their home for lunch, but Mrs. Finch asked us this morning if we knew how to get there, and I said yes, because we've been over there before, and I thought I did know. But when we left the chapel and got down there on that road to Fayetteville, I couldn't find their home. And I started making a few turns this way and that, and back into the developments and on a couple of roads. And finally, I had to come back down to 30 and slip into the convenience store there and get the telephone directory and look up the street they lived on, and then come back to their home. Kind of floundering around because I thought I knew where I was going, but I didn't really know. And how simple it would have been just to have gotten refreshing the directions, refreshed in my mind again this morning. But I thought I knew where I was going. And isn't that the way it is in our lives a lot of times? We think we know what's best for our lives. We know what we need to do, where we want to go, and yet maybe it isn't the road that we should be on. Maybe we're not traveling the path that we should be traveling because we haven't given the complete control over the one who knows every step of the way. You start out on a trip without a road map. You're not going to get very far if you're going on a long trip. You'll soon find yourself lost. You have to pull out the map that's been drawn by the person that knows just where the roads are. And just anybody can't sit down and draw a road map and do a map. It takes someone who's studied and knows just how to put those maps together. You know, if a person was making a map for a company and they put in a wrong road, people would be traveling all over the place in the wrong direction. It's just so in our lives. We have one who has given us the road map, so to speak. He has given us the way. As we yield ourselves to Him and apply the truths of His Word, and the Holy Spirit is going to fill us, and we're going to be more effective servants of His in these days. And so we need to acknowledge His ownership of our lives, complete ownership, to put ourselves in His complete control, and then to try to bring our daily lives into conformity with His will. Again, in the second verse there of Romans chapter 12, we're told not to be conformed to this world. It's very easy to be conformed to this world. This world is just bombarding people all the time with all the things that the world has to offer. But not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed, to be changed, so that we can prove what is His perfect will for our lives. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, he says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. Have we crucified the flesh and put away those things and given Him the complete control of our life? This world, the things of this world, the flesh, they're there warring for us. But if we're going to be filled with the Spirit, we need to completely trust ourselves to His control. Can we trust Him? Certainly we can. We realize who God is. He's wise. He's strong. He's all-powerful. We can trust Him completely. As we completely yield ourselves to Him, then we're going to be able to be effective and to be Spirit-controlled believers. Yielding completely to His will, acknowledging His ownership of us, and making ourselves conformed to the will that He has for our lives. And just as we're yielded to Him, and as we empty ourselves of self, then we can live a Spirit-filled life. We can live a life that's honoring and pleasing to Him every day. Not just sometimes, but And all the time we can be living a life that is honoring and pleasing to Him. You know, there are some people who say, well, you've got to have more of the Holy Spirit. No, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We've got the Holy Spirit in completeness. It's not that we need more of the Holy Spirit. It's the fact that we need to give Him more of us. And as we give Him more of us, then we're going to see our lives able to be used in an effective way. He enters to abide when we're saved. He indwells us. But He allows us to give Him the control. And we can hold back that control, or we can yield to that control. And as we empty our hearts of the things of this world, the things that hold us back, the things that use up our time that could be used for Him, as we submit ourselves to His control, then again, we're going to see our lives being used for Him. We have to put away the old. Back in Romans chapter 6, in verse 13, He tells us, He says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Before we were saved, we yielded ourselves as instruments of unrighteousness. We didn't care what God thought about us. We didn't care whether we were pleasing Him or not. He says, now you've been saved. Now your life has been changed. You're new creatures. So don't continue to yield your members to those old things, but once and for all, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. We've been made alive. We've been given a new life. And now He wants us to yield ourselves to Him. The Lord Jesus Christ, as well as the Holy Spirit, indwells all born-again believers. And as we yield to the Holy Spirit and trust the Lord Jesus Christ fully, then He's going to be able to live His life out in us. He's going to be able to live through us. We read in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I am crucified with the Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It's not living my life in my own strength, but letting the Lord Jesus Christ live in me. Let Him have the control in my life. And then He says, when that happens, the life that I now live in the flesh, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Oh, how precious it is for us to be able to just give control over to Him and say, Lord, here's my life. Take it and use it in the way that You see fit. And when we've emptied ourselves of self, when we've yielded to Him, then we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, if we want a cup of tea, we don't take a cup that's filled with dirt and try to pour the tea in on top of it. We make sure that the cup is clean and it's empty. And then we pour in the tea into the cup that we can have. And the Lord wants us emptied of ourselves so that He can fill us and He can use us day by day. And the results that come as we yield ourselves to Him, as we're filled with the Spirit, there's going to be power. There's going to be power in the life of the believer. Power for service. As He tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, But ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Speaking to the Christians there, it says, when the Holy Spirit has come, when you have the Holy Spirit, you're going to be witnesses. You're going to be serving, not only here in Jerusalem, but into all the parts of the earth. And that promise to those believers there is just as true for us today. As we yield ourselves to Him, we're going to be witnesses. We're going to be servants. He might use us in the very home area where we're at, or He might call us to some other area to serve. But the key is yielding ourselves and saying, Lord, I want to be used in Your service. And then as we completely empty ourselves of self and yield it to Him, He's going to be able to give us that power for service. Not only can He give us power for service, but He can also give us power for life. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In our lives, he's going to give us the strength and the supply and the power that we need to serve him day by day. I can do all things through Christ, not just a few things, but all things through him who strengtheneth me. We can trust in him for the power that we need in our lives day by day. For this power to witness, power, whatever we need to serve him, we can trust upon him for that strength. And then he's going to give us power for victory in the trials we have. As we're yielded to him, as those trials come, which are sure to come, no believer is immune to trials. I guess we would all like to be. We'd all wish, boy, that we certainly wouldn't want to have any trials in our lives. But the trials are there to bring us to greater maturity. And as the trials come, as we yield it to him, again, the strength is there from him, the power for victory in it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10, he says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Here's Paul, one who was a tremendous servant of the Lord. And yet Paul says, I had this thorn in the flesh. I'm not without trials. And certainly as we look through the epistles that Paul wrote, we can see that Paul wasn't without trials. I suppose if we would try and compare the trials that we face to the trials that Paul faced, they certainly would not, our trials would just kind of pale in comparison. As you think of the time that Paul had to flee for his life, as he was beaten and stoned and cast into prison. And while I don't think any of us would want to spend time in prison today, yet the prisons that we have today don't compare with the prisons that were there in Paul's day. Just more or less, many times a deep, damp hole dug out and bars are put in. Not a pretty place to be, with probably all kinds of insects and rats and mice and who knows what all there. They put these people down there, locked them in chains very often, and then just left them there. Very little to eat. And Paul suffered this. He suffered rejection of people that had he had tried to reach for the gospel. He would go into a town and try to give the people the good news. And what would happen? They would try and run him out of town. I'm sure that's never happened to any of us. Sometimes we go and knock on a door and someone comes and we offer them a tract and maybe they slam the door in our face and we say, boy, that is a great trial that we're having to go through to try and carry the gospel. It is a trial, but think about what the Apostle Paul went through as he was driven from town to town because of his proclamation of the gospel. And Paul says, I have this thorn in the flesh. I three times asked God to take that thorn in the flesh away, but what did he say? My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What an example of the Spirit-filled life of the believer and the Apostle Paul, that there was power for victory even in the midst of suffering. Paul says, I would rather glory in these infirmities and the frailties of the body, the beatings, the being cast into prison. I would rather glory in these things that I might have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ upon me. And when we're faced with trials, we can take the very same attitude if we're yielded to him. If we let the Holy Spirit work in our lives, we can say, I'd rather glory in that trial. I'll take pleasure in that trial that I might have the power of Christ working in my life today. Paul says there in 10, all these things he talks about, says, I take pleasure in them. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in persecution. It's something to be able to take pleasure in persecution, isn't it? Would we be able to, if we were persecuted, take pleasure in it? Paul says, I can, because when I am weak, then I am strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the trials of life come, when we are weak, in him We can be strong. And certainly those trials are going to come. We can trust Him for the power to have victory in those trials. As we're, again, yielded to Him, as we have the Holy Spirit working in our life. When the Christian is filled with the Spirit of God, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit is going to develop in our lives, isn't it? We don't have time to go into depth into in Galatians 5:22 of the fruit of the Spirit, but that's the result of the Spirit-filled life. As we're filled with the Spirit of God, then the fruit of the Spirit is going to develop in our lives day by day. Now, it doesn't come to perfection all at once, and our lives aren't totally changed all at once, but as we acknowledge His control of our lives, as we yield ourselves to Him, then little by little, that fruit is going to be developing in our life. You know, it's kind of like you see the orchards around here. And sometimes the fruit isn't very big, and sometimes it's large, depending on how much sunlight there was and how much rain it gets. But the fruit develops. And the more it's watered and the more it gets the sun, the better the fruit develops. And for the believer, the more we're into His Word and the more we're yielding to Him, then that fruit is going to develop. The love that comes, we're told in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The love of God, a zeal to reach out to others, not just the people that are our friends, not just the people that are lovely, but also to reach out to the unlovely, to the unsaved, to see them come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Love is going to be developing as we're filled with the Spirit. Joy. Joy that can't be destroyed by the happenings that are around us every day. You know, a lot of people today, they're happy one day because everything is going good. Next day you might see them and, oh, their things just didn't go right today, and so they're down in the dumps. No, their happiness depends on how what's going on in their lives. And that shouldn't be with the believer. We can have joy no matter what's happening in our lives in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, going back to what Paul said, he says, I take pleasure in the infirmities. I take pleasure in the reproaches. When I'm weak, I'm strong. And so if we don't look at the happenings, but keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, keeping our eyes upon Him, that's when we're going to have that joy. As our eyes are kept upon Him, as we're yielded to the Holy Spirit. Think of an illustration that someone gave one time, who was down in West Virginia, and one of the sisters in one of the meetings, they were sharing with us about her granddaughter. She'd been teaching story of Peter walking on the water in Sunday school class. And she asked, when did Peter start to sink? And her granddaughter spoke up and said, well, it was when he took his eyes off Jesus and started looking at the fish. In a sense, you can think that was true. When he looked down and saw the waves and the water, got his eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, he began to sink. And so, as it were, if we get our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and start looking at the things of this earth and the things of this world and the trials that are there, then we're going to begin to sink. But if we keep our eyes on Him, those waves are still there, the trials are still there, but that joy permeates our hearts as we're yielded to Him. And so we can have that love, we can have that joy, we can have that peace. Peace with God, because He's forgiven us of our sins, but the peace of God that passes all understanding. The peace that this world can't know. Oh, if we hear so much in the world today of peace, but the world doesn't really know the true peace that can come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the fruit of long-suffering, being able to have patience. Now, a lot of times it's not very easy to have patience. Maybe we work with someone and say, oh, I just can't have patience with that person. You know, every time we're working on this job or something, they mess up what I've done. Or I go through and I get it fixed just right, and then they come along and they mess it up. And so we find ourselves having patience with that person. But as we, again, yield ourselves to the Spirit, we can have patience and long-suffering even when things don't seem to be going the way we want them to. Gentleness or kindness. Kindness to, it's easy to be kind to those that are kind to us, isn't it?
What about somebody that's not kind to us? Somebody that just grates upon us. Somebody that doesn't have a kind word to say to us. As we let the Holy Spirit work in our lives and show them kindness, if they do something unkind to us, then turn around and answer us with a kind act. And let the Holy Spirit work in our lives. And maybe as the Holy Spirit works in our lives, the Holy Spirit can work in that person's life as well. Convict them of their need of the Savior. Maybe we can be a witness for them. You know, there's been many a Christian that has answered unkindness with unkindness, and as a result, a person that they might have been able to reach for the Lord Jesus Christ has been turned off to the gospel. When we're faced with unkindness, let's turn it around and give forth kindness in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then goodness or benevolence, doing that which is good. And certainly we can't get to heaven by doing good works. But once we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, certainly we should be doing good works. Good works should be filling the life of the Christian day by day. And this is faithfulness. Another aspect of that is faithfulness. Faithfulness to the task that He has for us. Back in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, 1, he says, "Seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." He's given us a task to do. And He hasn't given any of us the same task. Each one has our task to do, and as we do our task, and our brother does his task, and our sister does their task, each one of us working together brings it to completion. It's like the automobile assembly line. You don't have everybody putting in steering wheels, or you wouldn't have a car, but you would just have a mess. But as the car goes down the assembly line, one man puts in his part. Someone may put on the windshield. Someone else puts on the door. Someone puts on in the radio. Different parts. And soon, at the end of the line, off comes a brand new automobile. And it's just so in the Christian life. Each one of us has a part to fill. Each one of us has a task to do. God has given us that task. He's given us the ability that we have to do that task. And He'll give us the power to see it through us to completion. And if each one of us is completing the task, it works for the whole, for the body of Christ. And while we have different personalities, we have different skills, different ideas maybe about things sometimes, yet when we're yielded to the Holy Spirit and working through Him, we're going to have wonderful success as we work together. And so faithfulness to the task that He has given us. Meekness. Or think of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He was reviled, He didn't revile again. He had humility. He was able to hold back from lashing out at those Roman soldiers that were making fun of Him. A lot of times the easiest thing to do is to lash out at someone. If someone offends us, lash back at them. But the Lord Jesus Christ was humble, even as they made fun of Him, as they beat Him, as they mocked Him. He showed forth humility. And as we, in our lives as believers, show forth meekness, then we're going to, again, continue to develop that fruit of the Spirit, which is the result of being filled with the Spirit. And the final one is temperance or self-control. Triumph over sin. All the world throws so much at us. And we have to have temperance, don't we? We have to have self-control. Or we can be caught up in the things of this earth. But we go right back to what we began with. Acknowledge His authority over our lives. Give Him, yield ourselves totally to Him. Let the Holy Spirit control our lives. Then we're going to be able to have that self-control. We're going to show forth the evidence of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to have a life that is filled with the Spirit and able to be used by Him. It's precious that we as believers have the Holy Spirit with us to lead us and to guide us. Isn't it wonderful that God just didn't save us and say, okay, flounder around for yourselves, and when your time on this earth is over, I'll come back and I'll take you home. I'll take you home to be with Me. He saved us, He keeps us, and He provides us with everything that we need to live a life that is honoring and pleasing to Him, a life that can be yielded to Him, a life that can be used by Him. And that's really the purpose, isn't it, of our lives, to glorify Him, to be used by Him day by day. Oh, we look around, we see the world today going headlong into an eternity in the lake of fire, caring less about the Holy Spirit, caring less about the Son or the Father, only to do what they want to do, to earn their millions of dollars, to gain their fame, to do what is pleasing to them. I think we go back almost to the book of Judges in our day. To everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. As we look around on every hand, that seems to be the whole thought of the world today. Do that which is right in my eyes. I want to do what's right for me. I want to do what's right, what I want to have what I want. But for the Christian, we have one who is indwells us to help us do that which is right for Him. As we realize that here is the God of the universe, the Creator of the universe, the one that put the stars in the sky, the one that keeps the earth in the very place where it should be so that it doesn't become destroyed, the one that sustains life, to realize that one loved me so much that He wanted me to be with Him. And so He made a way that because I was lost, because I had no hope, that I might have eternal life. He made a way that I might be His dear child. Isn't that wonderful tonight for us as Christians to rejoice in, that the one who created everything loved us enough to make a way that we might be His children, and then when we become His children, to make a way that we might live for Him and serve Him day by day. And if we think again about it, here He is. He provided everything we need. What ought our response be to Him? Should it be, I'm going to do what I want to do? Should it be, I want to do what's right for me? Or should it be, I'm going to do what He wants me to? I'm going to yield myself to the control of the Holy Spirit to be used by Him. So we can go back again to and close with 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, which the verse we started with. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Can we have any greater goal in our lives in the days to come, the Lord Jesus Christ may not return, than to glorify Him in our body and our spirit? To glorify Him who bought us? We're not our own. May we say, Lord, I yield control of my life to You. I want to be a Spirit-filled Christian. I want to have the fruit of the Spirit developing in my life. So as I serve You, I'm going to see victory in my life day by day. Here's my life, Lord. Take it and let it be used for You. And then again, if you're here this evening and you've never accepted God's wonderful gift of salvation, you can't be a Spirit-filled Christian. You can't even have the Spirit within you until first you accept the gift that God offers. If you're here this evening without the Lord Jesus Christ, why not, where you sit right now, just tell Him that you realize that you're lost. You realize that you're on your way to a crisis eternity and ask Him to come into your life, forgive you your sins. And He's promised that He will. He'll accept you this evening. He's done the work. It's paid for. It's done. Nothing for you to do except accept what's been done on your behalf. Once you accept Him tonight, let's just look to Him in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the wonderful provision that You've made for us. We don't begin to understand Your love for us, how that one who is righteous and holy and perfect could look down upon us who were at total enmity with Thee, Your enemies, and yet You loved us and provided a way for our salvation. Sent Your only begotten Son to pay the price for our sin. How we rejoice tonight in the salvation we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we realize what we have in Him, may we seek to yield ourselves to Thee day by day, to Thy control, emptied of self, and filled with the Spirit to be used by You. And Father, we would pray that there be even one individual with us this evening who has not put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that before they leave this building tonight, they might accept Him, that they might not have peace nor rest until they know that they're on their way to heaven, that their sins have been forgiven. Again, we just rejoice in what you've done. We would again uphold these who've been brought before us this evening, who are with illness problems. Brother Wilmer Detweiler, we just ask you to just continue to give his doctor's wisdom. Brother Jim Dunkerton, just be with the surgeons and just guide their every move as they perform that surgery tomorrow. And if we just look to thee, that in thy will they might soon be restored to their normal health and strength. It's in our Savior's wonderful and precious and holy name we pray. Amen.